call the order of the board of directors meeting for interior gas and utility. And to begin with, Heather, would you please call the roll?
Recording in progress.
Chair Wilson?
Here.
Vice Chair Chapdeck?
Here.
Director Atkinson?
Here.
Director Wilber?
I'm mute.
Muted, Jack. Oh, that's right. He's online today, isn't he?
Director Miller?
Here.
Director Dawson?
Here.
Director Kelly? Director Wilber?
Jack, can you hear us?
He's off mute now.
Came off mute, but he's not.
Yeah.
I
didn't
hear online. I haven't heard from Pete that he wasn't going to be here, so I expected he would.
Jack, can you hear us?
His mic isn't showing up, so.
Now, what's going on?
Reboot. I think he told us he may or may not be on, but anyway, looks like he's trying, so let us, we have a quorum, we do?
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, the quorum is recognized, and let's start our agenda. Approval of the agenda and the consent agenda. Are there any changes on the agenda that you see that you'd like to add, subtract, or modify? Okay, the agenda is approved as presented, and the consent agenda, which today is the approval of the minutes of the 3/5/24 meeting minutes and of the February 24 financials by the finance committee, and we'll have a brief report on that as we get into the agenda. Next is public comment. Is there anybody online who would like to make a comment, public comment for the board of directors? Hearing none, how about in the room? Anyone in the room that wants to make a comment to the board of directors? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and move to item 2, new business, policy manual review. Lynn?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The policy manual review is a yearly exercise that we go through both as first as staff and then as the board of directors. ID management looks at both the policy manual and the procurement manual, if I am allowed to bring those two items together, and there are no recommended changes to any of the ID policies.
Does that require a motion to accept them on an annual basis, or do we just, if there's no changes, we just let it roll?
If there's no changes, you can let it go.
Okay, with that, the policy manuals have been reviewed, and the procurement manual reviewed, and with no modifications, they'll remain in effect for, they'll modify for the next year. Whole business. Only one item, the general manager appraisal, FY 25 goals, final debate and approval, page 138. So the goals, I think today we want to search down.
Can we find out? Have you heard from Jack on text?
He doesn't
know.
She texted.
Okay. Yeah.
Jack doesn't do cell phones.
That's right. That's right.
Is chat enabled? Can you chat with him on this?
Should be able to.
Never chat with someone.
ability to chat with someone.
Just click on Jack Wolver.
And then you set up the meeting, so we might not have
yeah, the link on here. It doesn't show.
Okay, Robert. Appraisal. So the goals. This is what we worked on 2 meetings ago, and what we want to do today is to approve the goals either as presented or as amended. So let's go to page 138. Is that to where we are? Is that what we're trying to do here?
The page numbers are at the top.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
there's
so many policies
with
page numbers,
so
I'll have to put them on the top.
Don't okay. Find back up.
So, I'll approach this however you folks want to approach it. In fact, we might have the mothership.
Jack disappeared. Maybe he's trying to restart the road.
Katie's got something going there. Okay, page 139. So our goal here today is to accept these goals that we set forth 2 meetings ago. And I guess the best way to do that is to walk down through them. And if anybody has any comments, changes, deletions, now is the time to present them and debate. Yes.
We start with the motion to approve the goals and then people can amend them as we get.
We can put that on the floor, sure.
Yep. I'll move to accept the goals. Second.
Okay. So the goals are on the floor, and let's walk through goal one board. Any changes, additions, deletions? Okay. Goal one is approved. Goal two under processes. Changes, deletions, additions. Any changes? Everybody happy? Okay. Goal two is approved as presented. Goal three regarding existing and new customers. Existing first, any changes? Additions, deletions? Okay. Existing is approved as presented. And new customers? Changes, additions, deletions? New customers are approved as presented. Goal four, financial. Additions, deletions. Did we put everyone all right with goal four, financial? Appears to be. Goal five, interrelations. Additions, deletions, changes. Everyone happy with goal five? Okay. Approved as presented. Goal six, safety. Additions, deletions. Changes. Everyone happy? Goal five, goal six, safety is approved as presented. Goal seven, human resources. Any suggested deletions, additions, or changes? Goal 7 is approved as presented. Goal 8, utility special projects. Additions, deletions, changes?
Zane? I thought we moved on past any kind of analysis of in-house trust. I don't know if that was still in contention here. Let's raise that here. That's what I thought I heard the word say at some point. Maybe I'm wrong with that.
I think there's still life in that sometimes. Okay. Maybe look at it over the years, things start to settle out.
And six could probably be dropped.
I'm sorry, Bob?
Six, the very last one could be dropped.
Yeah, let's go back up to Zane's question on five. Is everyone all right with leaving in-house analysis of trucking in?
Yep.
Okay. All right, now, Bob, six?
Six just says LNG transportation, which really is a somebody's summary for five.
All right. Motion to amend to remove LNG transportation number six?
Yes.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Second.
Okay.
Discussion on removing number six LNG transportation.
And it is goal six, safety? Where are you?
We're on page 141.
That page is about right hand.
And why remove it?
Because all it says is LNG transportation. And number five describes what we're going to do up above. So it was two different people's stuff, and one was just the topic, it looks like.
Okay. Is there objection to that approving goal eight utility special project? Should be teaching one part. Yes. As amended, which is deletion of item 6. You've seen that. Goal 8 as amended is approved. Okay. Discussion on the 8 goals.
Say, Gary, this is Jack. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, there you are, Jack. You're good.
Yeah.
Oh, we can see.
Okay.
Yeah, you're there. Where did you pick us up?
I just came in just now.
Okay. We're just marching through the goals and have reached. There's a motion on the floor to approve goal 8 out of goal 1 through 8, with only one change, that being the deletion of item number 6 on goal 8, utility special projects. Everything else is being passed. It has been passed as presented. So that brings us right up to date. Any comment on any of those, Jack, 1 through 8?
No.
Okay. Are we ready for the motion? Okay. Heather, we call the roll on the motions regarding the 8 goals.
Vice Chair Duffett?
Yes.
Director Wilder?
Yes.
Director Dawson?
Yes.
Director Haddington?
Yes.
Director Miller?
Yes.
Chair Wilkins?
Yes. Thank you. Before we get off of that, and we're still under that subject, I'm just going to throw this on the table. We're going to talk about this tonight. But I'm thinking that, you know, in the past, last 2 or 3 years where we've been involved in these, we do these goals, and then they just sort of sit, and they pop up a year later, and we look at them again. So what do you guys think, guys and gals? What do you folks think of, let's just take a date, any date, October 1st, that we have either in a work session or in our regular meeting, a review of these goals to see how we're doing, looking back to the underlying comments and input that we had when we put this whole thing together. And just march down through this maybe twice between now and the time we pick it up again with the budget process. We're going to work out a different review process, so maybe that rolls into this. It seems like these ought to have some life to them. And if there's something we're scraggling, we ought to pick it up and not wait a year. So I'm just going to roll that out. We just, you know, do any route other than you'll just see that maybe in a month or two after we get the budget out of there. And we'll figure out a way to bring some light to the goals and or whatever you want to call it. Okay, that's it. Anything else on goals? All right, let's go to item 4, reports and finance committee report. Jack, do you have a report from your remote location?
Yes, I do. Just one second, please. Okay, so I'm back with you. Sorry about that. I was able to log in initially, but I couldn't get my mic to work. I had to reboot Zoom, and so we had a finance committee meeting last week. I don't have anything really worth sharing on the financial package itself. The committee did make a recommendation to the board that they accept the finance report as submitted. A couple things to point out. You're on a good page. Their header for that is that from a year-to-date actual versus budget, we're doing fine. We got an actual cost per MCF year-to-date of about 55 cents per MCF less than we than was budgeted. And then on the next page, Heather, the thing to show there is that the heading under the 12-month trailing average was supposed to be changed to March 2022 to February 2023. This report shows that the total cost per MCF trailing average for the last 12 months at $18.86 is over $2 less than it was the previous year from now. So, and that is all regarding the financial package. We spent any questions for anybody?
Don't see any here.
Okay. And so we also spent quite a bit of time talking about the budget. There was no budget presented, and I don't see budget on the agenda for this meeting either. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And so the finance committee is going to see the budget at the next committee meeting, and then the board's going to talk about it?
Yes.
Okay, so is there any point in me talking about our budget conversations previously?
I think that is up to the board members who have not been at the finance committee meeting, but...
Okay, well, I could just give I thought that maybe we were going to, the board was going to be presented with a budget today, but evidently not. So I'll have to say that the Finance Committee was not presented with a budget at our meeting. There was a kind of there was a narrative produced by Zach that we reviewed and talked about. I'm trying to find that right now.
Page 25 of the packet.
Of the current packet?
Yes.
Or by the packet that I had for the finance committee meeting?
The current packet.
Top of the page, yeah.
Okay, I've got it here in the finance committee meeting. Yeah, so anyway, that's the narrative that was presented to us. We talked about all of this stuff, went through it, had explanations. You know, Zach did a good job of preparing the summary, good job of answering our questions. The main points of discussion were really centered around the potential cost of trucking and harvest plant startup. The one thing that was indicated in the general report, and which was made public, is that the direction we're headed is for a 15% increase in the cost per MCF for this next year in order to make the budget work. That was part of the public information, so that's why I'm sharing that with you now, because that was in the public portion of the narrative that was handed out. And so the reasons for that increase are listed in that summary. And let me find those that would be worth talking about. Can you see? That's on page one. There, I'm looking at the summary on the first page. There. So projected increase in the trucking cost for the Coconut to Fairbanks route. It was explained that there is an RFP on the street to get trucking costs. And that will cover both the it was explained in the meeting that the previous trucking contractor's contract is being terminated, and that there is an RFP on the street for a new trucking contractor that will cover both the Kink Inlet to Fairbanks route and the North Slope to Fairbanks route when that starts. I'm not sure when that opens, but sometime in the not too distant future, I believe next couple weeks or so. They point out there is a decrease in the cost of the feedstock. But an increase in liquefaction transportation costs. Warmer winter is predicted, and we need to purchase third-party gas in order to get our inventory levels in the 5 million gallon tank up to where we want them to be to go through the winter. So those were the primary cost drivers for the increase. There wasn't any explanation as to the degree that each contributed to that. So the discussions were basically the issues that were discussed in executive session on it, so I don't know how much I can share with that there, but the basic direction from the group that gathered was that it would be nice, one, to come up with a scenario that steps up the increase over a period of time, if we can. And Zach and said he would look at that, and also that we needed for them, you know, to come to us with a budget that they recommended, and based on the unknowns that they have to deal with, just make what their best estimate on those unknowns are going to be. I think the trucking cost is maybe known for sure by the time they ask an initial budget. But the unknown was harvest plant startup that needed to deal with. So I know that's not a totally coherent summary, but about the best I can do from our conversation during the meeting.
Well, Jack, thanks. That was just what we needed. And I think for the purposes of Jim and Peter, who was here, and the rest of us, I think as we look back, we're doing things a little bit differently this year. And so maybe Elena might fill us in on one. Jack talked about some of the assumptions. And then also, could you talk about the schedule that gets us up into the middle of June?
So regarding the assumptions that were made to reach the 15% rate, potential rate increase, I am happy to talk to the entire board about an executive session, some of those things, for such as the budgeted amount per load from the North Slope, considering that there is an open RFP right now, should remain undisclosed in public session. Regarding the schedule, the only thing that is different from previous years and this year is that we have presented some high-level budgetary assumptions 1 month early to the Finance Committee. Generally, we have presented a first budget to the Finance Committee in April, and we intend to do that at the Finance Committee's April meeting, followed by a budget presentation, a first budget presentation to the board in May, consistent to previous year's schedule. And then generally the board does not approve the budget in May. There is some additional discussion that happens at the May Finance Committee meeting, and generally the board approves the budget in June. The board can approve the budget in June at the first meeting in June, or it can, if additional work is necessary, approve it at a work session in June. But the work session in June is generally the last time that the budget can be approved because our fiscal year budget starts in November.
Am I right when I say that there is information that will be coming in at that late days, and that may drive us into the middle of June, or that information may be in time so that we can wrap up the budget on the first meeting in June? Is that kind of where we are?
So the trucking RFP closes on the 12th of April. Yes. And that is going to give us a lot of certainty in the numbers of the rate increase is mainly driven by the cost of by estimated cost in trucking. Other costs that are coming in, we received the cost of healthcare insurance yesterday. That has an increase of 12% year over year. So that is already significant additional information as compared to what we have when we presented to the Finance Committee. There is, as the board is aware, some work that is in progress by QX HR Services. I am prepared to talk about about the portion of those recommendations if the board would desire an executive session today. And then the second part of that work should be ready by the end of May, according to the latest update that I have received from her. And so we should have all the data that we need to approve a budget by the first meeting.
Okay. Questions of Jack or Elena?
Just Bob? The 23rd of April is the Finance Committee.
Yes.
Isn't this the third week, right?
No, that's the work session set aside. It's the third week.
The
okay.
Regular Finance Committee.
Yeah, I might come with them. Okay. Or I might not.
Okay. talking with the planner and the crew over the last month, and it seems, in spite of the turbulence, it's really going quite well. Either that or she's not your show. We'll find out. Anyway. She doesn't show up for work on June 1st. We'll move on. All right. Anything else on the finance committee report? Jack, thanks again for the report. All right.
You're welcome.
Where are we? Oh, Jeff? Oh, okay, thanks. All right, let's move on to the marketing report. Where's Katie? There she is. Hi, Katie.
Hi. In place. Hi. Gas service requests received past the deadline. We are sitting at 469. This time last year it was 421. Oh, I apologize. We are on page 144.
144.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You know, that spike still has us well ahead, and we're starting to see an uptick as the snow starts to melt, so long as we don't continue to have multiple winters showing up. We expect people will keep thinking of construction season. Approved for 2024 construction at the time of this report was 196. As of today, we're at 214. So also seeing those upticks. We had a contractor who had 20 set to install this summer, and he has postponed those to 2025. So it was very disappointing. I was doing my report. We were over 200. We dropped, but we've already almost regained every single one of them this past week. Again, we're seeing a lot of uptick. We have also started making some calls to the tag areas, requesting that they get their submissions in. So that has also aided in getting that number up, and we're seeing some good numbers come through from North Pole.
Any questions on 145?
All right. Turn-ons. We have a total of 333. As of the time of this report, we had 81% of our turn-ons. Page 146.
I skipped a page. I'm sorry.
You are good. 81% of last season's installs have turned on, so we're still staying ahead of the curve there. Of course, as it gets warmer, you know, we see less and less, but we're getting there. On the next page is the turn-on analysis.
Any questions on 146? That's good, isn't it, what we're seeing there? Isn't that good news?
It is, absolutely. Moving on to the next one.
42 in January is pretty impressive.
Hmm?
I think 42 hook connects in January is impressive.
Yes.
Our turn-on analysis, you can see we still have 102 yet to turn on, and the breakdown of those, and if we go on to the next slide, we have the reasoning. So the reason that 88 is different than the 102 is because there are still a month worth of installs who are not past their deadline. So the analysis is only people who are past their 6-month turn on. And you can see there's the reason along with our degree of confidence that they will turn on. So a majority of them we are still confident are going to become customers in the near future. They've been granted extensions. We're in communication for the most part. We're happy. Are there any questions regarding any of these numbers? Jim?
So the Fairbanks North Scarborough not approved, that's not approved for a loan or whatever that is?
Yes, they approved or applied for the grant and either and didn't receive it or haven't received it yet. Any other questions? Okay. On the next slide, our social media presence is remaining steady. Thanks to Cheyenne. She's doing a wonderful job. We're averaging about 4 posts a week. We've had a couple of boosted posts in March. Reach and interactions and clicks on Facebook were all up. Instagram, we've already recognized, is not a place where a lot of our community sees us, but we are going to maintain a consistent presence there, hoping to turn that around or reach a different demographic. We also sent postcards out this past month that went to all of the addresses on the North Pole Street that have been approved for the tag expansion to help encourage customers to submit those gas service agreements as soon as possible. And then we started calling everyone who submitted a request but had not yet submitted an agreement. We requested that they get those agreements in before April 14th so that we can get a good scope of what our customer base will look like out there. And then events this past month, we had our Fairbanks open house where, again, we had 7 contractors, 2 financial institutions, the Borough Air Quality and IGU, so we had the same amount of participant tables from Fairbanks as we had in North Pole, and approximately 40 community members came in. We also had the home show, which, of course, offers good engagement with the community. There were a lot of questions asked, and we got to educate the public on the North Slope transition, secure supply, and cost savings. And from that, we received 13 gas service requests and 3 new service agreements. So. And then, of course, upcoming this month, we have our contractors' lunch and learn next week, and the outdoor show the weekend of the 19th.
So what generated the news stories on moisture and exhaust? Because we certainly got a lot of press for that. I don't know if it was good or bad.
Yeah, agreed. So a lot of that was spurred around the February incident. And there was also, I know Alex had reached out to interview Elena. So I believe a lot of the footage that was from a previous interview. So maybe Elena can expand more.
Everybody see that where they had the furnace up and they showed it? How things, the heat exchanger or whatever it is, that cools across the pipes. Anyway, I thought we did a really good job on that. It started out like there was going to be a problem with the utility, and right off the bat they talked about it was a problem with installs. And so that set the stage for later on, and it was Jeremiah, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that got up there and you know, showed what happens, and I thought it came out really, really well.
Yeah, when I saw the headline, I thought, holy shit, what's coming up? And then the story wasn't near as bad, because while nobody wants to hear stories about people's gas furnaces not working, at least, you know, they didn't have us in the frame.
Yeah. Well, the monkey got on the back of the installation. Well, not on us. So, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I think, Elena.
So the story started exactly as the title suggested, and we did a lot of managing that story. So the story started because a reporter heard a contractor talk about the issues with natural gas installations, and that was going to be the story. And then we said, well, two things need to come out of this story. One, natural gas installations are significantly more efficient, and the reason that exhaust is not as hot as it is with oil furnaces is because they are not wasting as much heat in the production of, or much energy in production of general water. And secondly, they have to be installed correctly, and that's very important. So we did as much managing of that story as we could. You know, conclusions could have been slightly better, but I'm generally happy with where it ended up, knowing where it started.
Can I bird walk just a little further?
Sure.
Because that got me thinking. We talked before about how can one rate contractors that aren't our contractors, and how fraught with litigation and trouble something like that is if we decide who people's contractors should be. But is there another way to get at that by having people who have had their furnaces worked on provide ratings that show up on our... You know, because right now all we give is here's a list of contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. And without steering, if it was the people who had the contractors work, could we have, you know, them give little stars and little narratives of how it went, so that you know, the next schmo who's coming in doesn't pick one that we cringe every time they do an install. Think about that and kick it around with your lawyer.
I don't see a problem with that. It's not coming from us. It's just the ratings. There's lots of ratings out there and on the social media stuff. Mm-hmm. Is where this is at. So I don't think that'd be an issue. We'd just be aggregating or making available.
So I agree with that. Just be careful because, like, if I'm a bad contractor and I have access to that, I can send in a whole bunch of really good reviews to myself. I mean, you make sure that they're really an independent sample of the customers that got hooked up.
Oh yeah, I envision soliciting people who are on page 146, not just let anybody fill out.
Yeah, a certified user.
Yeah,
basically.
So I'll go back to when I got hooked up, like 2.5 years ago. I went to the list and picked a name that I thought I recognized, right? And I did not get a good response from that guy at all. You know, just like, oh yeah, walking the door, it's like, oh yeah, here's a huge number, right? And I thought, okay. And so I randomly picked another guy off the list and got probably, the, you know, in my opinion now, the best guy in the list. I don't know that, but there's got to be some way to share the experience of that contractor in somehow. But I agree with Bob. I don't know how you do it, but there should be something other than just, you know, you could look, say, well, who did install the most, right? Who installed, who had the lowest price? I mean, there's different ways to rate that. What I've been hearing, to bird walk a little bit farther, what I've been hearing is that all the rates are super high right now. They're asking like $28,000 to $30,000 for a conversion. And
that's what the worst.
Yeah, and so I mean that's just what I heard from one person telling me. And so they're up there. And then so I went to the home show and asked a vendor there, and they said, "Oh, no, we're new and we're from Anchorage and whatever." And because we always thought that we would get, you know, if the prices were too high, Anchor would just step in and pick up, you know, market rates type thing. So.
Anchor should be converting gas to soap.
They're going to be converting back to oil.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to hijack your report, but
we appreciate
that. What else are they?
The whole company that came in.
What else for Katie? Two things. You in your Facebook metrics, you have a metric called engagement rate.
Engagement rate? Should I?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you use it?
I do.
What is our engagement rate?
Our engagement rate, I have to double check the numbers, but our engagement, I believe on Facebook, was up around 800% this month in the last 28 days. Give me just 1 second, I can pull up the data I sent to Kate.
Well, she's looking, my daughter is up to her ears and this is what she does. So she asked me about it. She said, "What's your engagement rate?" I went, "Well, just once I won't, you know. Just soon on it,
once a month."
And I never cried. So she said, "Why don't you ask what your engagement rate is?" And it's something divided by something. And it's a pretty well-used metric, from what I understand. That's all right, good. It's perfect.
I have to take the fall for that because Katie earlier, maybe 3 reports ago, included that. And I said, "Well, that's too much information. Let's just say it was up." And now you're asking about it, so that's on me.
It's all good. We'll add it back. It's easy.
Next meeting, just give a report. But if it's that important, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And don't forget to tell us what it is. The something is divided by something.
We need the N and the D.
So, Katie, would you do me a favor? And this popped up in the presentation at chamber doors. Would you not use tag and just put out, just put what it is?
Charge with their check. Sure thing.
Would you? Yeah, kind of do that one. Okay, anything else with Katie? Jim?
No. Thank you. So, I see one more tail end. So about 8 years ago, when we first formed IGU, we actually engaged this company that was supposed to be looking at the interface and how you engage with the customer, get the banks, get the contractors all in the same room and the same page together. And I know we got a big binder, a huge binder. I don't remember the company, GC something. But anyhow, if you want, you might want to go dust that off. Just take a look and see if there's any nuggets you can take out of it. If not, I'm not looking to dig it up, but I'm just saying there might be some really neat engagement tools there.
Go ahead and review that huge binder on the end. Would you spare time? Would you be able to do that?
Well, somebody in this room will. I don't know.
And it's not a priority. Just, I mean, if you're sitting there going, gee, how can we, what can we do? I just take a look at it. Just, not to read it all. Just scan it and see if there's something.
No, we'll look at it and see if there's anything in our strategy that's missing.
Okay, anything else for Katie? Anything else for us? Okay.
Thank you.
Keep going. So much time.
Before we go to the general manager's report, what's on the screen is fresh off the press, and Cheyenne worked really hard to put together this video. So if you don't mind, Mr. Chair, I would like to give her a minute to give an introduction to this video and then a minute to play this video.
Super. Yeah. Let's go.
Hello. Thank you. I'm super excited. We just got the final about 30 minutes before this meeting, so that's awesome. So I worked with a local videographer, and we have kind of created a branding video for IGU. I have identified an area that I'm working really I'm working a lot towards building more of a brand for IGU, becoming more of a persona in our community, just becoming more involved, especially with the issues in the Cook Inlet and all of the transitions that we have happening. We want to be sure that people know that we're not just a utility, we are proud interior Alaskan utility, we are part of this community. So, with that being said, I have created this video. The vision is that we will have this, which will go out to Google AdSense. It'll be played on YouTube, Spotify, as a means of advertising, and then we will plug this whole video into AI to create several short-form content for our social medias and other platforms for us to advertise. So I have big aspirations for this.
Well, for you.
I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah,
well,
let's see it.
Jack, can you confirm that you see this? I think you're muted, Jack.
What's that?
Can you see the screen right now?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jim?
I'm probably the only one, but I know the sound is coming out of this speaker right behind me. I could understand a few of the words.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand anything either.
The music overplayed in terms of the balance between the words and the music, I think.
It seemed like the music was overriding the
of course, look at the demographic you got here.
And I'm the oldest of the demographics.
I will be sure to send you a
plus two AI.
I can follow up with all of you in an email with the downloadable version. I will say the conference room speaker definitely doesn't do the audio mix justice. I worked with him to make sure that the music was audible, but not so audible that you couldn't hear the words, and even I had a little bit of trouble, and I wrote the script kind of hearing what that said, so I agree with that. But I will say that when you get the opportunity to watch it on your personal devices, the audio mix sounds much better. So.
It looks great.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It did look nice.
Thank you.
We'll be looking forward to seeing the next iteration.
Yes. I will follow up with you in an email, and I hope you all love it.
Cheyenne, is this your first time addressing the board?
It is.
Is it?
It is, yes.
Which one do you like the best?
The chair. That's
probably the first one. Yeah, you don't have to batter, or you've got one hand. So,
keep my card close to my chest.
Thank you. Thanks, Cheyenne, for your work and your smile.
Oh, thanks.
Progress, cool. Let's see, where are we? That's it for reports. Now we're going to go to the general manager report.
Well, that's a hard thing to oh.
Yeah, so are we talking about general manager's contract this meeting?
Sir, talking about what, Jack?
The general manager's contract.
We are not.
Okay. Okay, I just, I got one by email from Zane.
Yes.
And he just sent it to me for my review. He didn't indicate that when we were reviewing it, so.
And that's my fault. I thought we were going to do it. But there's additional information coming that will help us make a better decision. So we move that to another meeting.
Okay, great. Okay, so I'm going to have to sign off from this meeting. I got my other meeting going on. Are you going into executive session for any reasons today?
Yes, we're going to talk about trucking, I think. We're going to talk about
We're not going to talk about trucking. There's no update on trucking, but we're going to talk about the budget assumptions that the Finance Committee already received, a new customer strategy / rate proposal, and then the recommendations of the HR consultant.
Okay, so I may be able to, my other meeting should last till about 7 o'clock. If you're still in action by then, I will try to sign on.
Director Wilbur, do you have the different link for the executive session?
Let me check here and see.
Okay, this afternoon. If we're still here at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that promise, Gary, maybe wasn't worth it.
I have an executive session link, yes.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Jack. And
Signing off.
It looks like you're going to be able to join us, just go ahead and text me and we can hold up our program a little bit.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Jack. All right, let's see, General Manager report.
Thank you. So in general, we are continuing to plan for the Target Edition brand project. There seems to be a really strong preference by the EPA and the DEC that most, if not all, of the funds get
spent on installing AIMS in North Pole, specifically in the area that's north of Hearst Road. So that within itself did not come as a big surprise. However, what does is the insistence on, or not, the preference that lines get installed even in areas where there are no indication of immediate customer conversion. So there is some negotiating there that we're doing. I'm just, I guess, signaling that we might not be as successful in that as I might have thought previously.
So this is federal funds?
Yes.
And you're negotiating with EPA or something?
Through DEC. Yeah.
What's the point of putting in lines where no one's interested in signing up?
Thank you. That's a question.
And they don't have an answer to that.
There is potential future conversion.
How does that help in environmental justice?
Well, it is, and then all of those funds do get spent in the most red environmental justice area.
But his point is, empty pipe doesn't provide any justice.
That is exactly my point. I think we're all on the same side of the table here. The way the process went was we were asked to identify a specific area. We identified a specific area. We sent it forward with the caveat that we're going to do everything that we can to market to that specific area. Katie has been, through her marketing reports, reporting on all of the specific actions that we took to market to that specific area. And then we have gotten to a point where, okay, we know which streets, which households have interest. We know that there is no interest on these specific streets. Let us shift. Now, I am not suggesting that we might not be able to shift in different areas in North Pole as opposed to those specific streets. I am, however, suggesting that we will not most likely be able to take that funding and install in Fairbanks, even though Fairbanks 2 is a area of non-attainment.
So is this part of the big budget packet? Budget that just passed the Congress? Is it the $1 trillion one that or is this allocation of money from before that?
That's allocation of money from before that. This is 2023 targeted airship grant fund.
And is this the $4 million?
It is the $4 million.
And there's anything coming behind that?
There is one thing that I'm going to talk about. There is nothing for sure that is coming behind that. There are requests. So I guess I'll skip one of the, I'll skip point number two, bullet number two, and I'll talk about what might be coming behind that. So I haven't reported to the board back when all of this was in planning stages. But now that it's complete and it actually happened, I am happy to report that I have worked, well, our team has worked with Fairbanks North Star Borough, Mayor Bryce Ward and his team, and that we have collectively submitted, though the borough is the entity that submitted a capital budget a congressional appropriation request to the United States Congress for a $20 million allocation to expand mains and service lines in Fairbanks and in North Pole. There is early indication that that Senator Murkowski is highly interested in funding a project of this nature, and because that is the only request that the borough made, we might have a decent chance at actually receiving it. The questions that we were asked by Senator Murkowski's staff were how long would it take us to actually put pipe in the ground? And my reply was that if we are able to start spending funds by November of any given year, we can put the $20 million into the ground in one summer.
$3 million.
20.
20, okay.
the most likely instrument for that appropriation to happen is the target leadership grant as a specific item that just goes to interior gas utility, and there might still be, this does not take away DEC's ability to still apply for the grant within their own in whatever configuration that might be.
So we may have available $24 million for mainline and extensions?
Yes, except we wouldn't, the $20 million wouldn't be something that we put into the ground next summer.
Mm-hmm. But eventually?
Yes, eventually. And then as a reminder to the board, we also have an additional $20 million capital budget request in June. There are no updates on that.
How many feet, miles does $20 million buy us?
Generally, it is 3 to 4 miles per million dollars.
3 miles per million. 4 million. Okay.
And
see?
Does that come with the same environmental justice hook?
Likely.
Okay. So, and also, have you thought about, I think I know you're the chair, a note about that, paying up for fuel and conversion of wood gas, or probably the biggest impediment to environmental justice is you don't have any money to do the conversion, right?
Right.
So if you could do like a LIHEAP program where they would step in and just say, we're going to pay you 100% of the conversion from this money, that would be a great step forward to environmental justice resolve. So, good. That's all. I just want your comments on that because I sent it to you, and I'm not worried about you addressing it. I was just curious.
Sure. There is a separate initiative that we are tracking very closely. It is an initiative by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and one of the I think they're receiving something like $70 million. And one of the applicable uses for that is conversion from less efficient to more efficient heating mechanisms. Cheyenne is working with the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, who is still at the stages of writing final grant rules. It's going to be a grant from the state, so the federal government already funded that project. Now it's going to be a grant from the state to Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and so we're trying to make sure that oil to gas conversions are applicable. If that becomes applicable and we are able to send our customers to that, then it would be 100% covered by the grant. So we're monitoring it. There is nothing big to report, which is why it hasn't made it to any of our board reports until it's for sure. But we are looking at both what you told us and other mechanisms to lower the cost of conversions, which we now believe is the number one deterrent for people to convert to natural gas.
Well, if that comes to pass, that's an excellent push. So I should say, for the record, Alaska Housing Finance, certainly Mike and Bob, myself, and maybe Jim, we've done a lot of work with the executive director, and I think all four of us, maybe Steve too, all four of us count each other as friends. So if we need any help from Alaska Housing Finance, we can certainly get it from the executive director, Brian
Butcher.
So that just laid on the table if we ever need it.
Keep that in mind. Dan and I visited Premier Cryogenics in Houston to see the progress on the LNG trailers. If you go to page 154, you can see some pictures there. It was really interesting to see all of the trailers in the different stages of production. So you'll see the first two pictures there. That's the inner shell.
So when you think of an LNG trailer, what you see on the outside is not what actually holds the LNG. There is an inner shell that holds the LNG, and in between the inner shell and the outer shell, there is a lot of insulation, and that insulation is also kept in vacuum, and that's what helps in the trailer's ability to keep the LNG cold from the point of destination to the point of offload. So those two first pictures are the inner shell, and then what you can see in the lower left, those are the caps that get put onto the inner shell. And then the picture on the bottom right is one of the sections of the outer shell. And if you scroll to the next page up top there, you see there is a piece that's kind of covered in blue. That is the inner shell that is all wrapped up into the insulation, and it's going into the outer shell. It's kind of getting nested together. And then what you can see on the bottom is the outer shell that is getting ready to be put on axle. So it was a really good experience for me to see the inside of it, to see how it works, but we also saw that they are on track with the production, so that was good all around. There is a final design meeting that we're having next week, and that just has to do with the design of the outside. Is there going to be a step, if they're going to be whatever, where the vaults are going to be located, etc.
And everything we see there is stainless steel?
Yes. There is the tiniest piece of aluminum on right next to the wheels because there was no other way to do it, but everything else is made out of stainless steel, and that is specifically made for Dalton Highway.
What's the annular space between the two shells?
How big is it?
Well, yeah, the space between the inner and the outer.
Do you know, Jonah?
About that big.
Okay. What is that, like 2 inches?
I don't know.
3 quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not filled with anything. It's just
exactly.
Like our big tank has got stuff in it.
Yeah, that big tank has perlite, and that's the insulation that the big tank has. And the perlite looks like a little foam of balls. The reason we don't use perlite on here is because the perlite settles, and so then you have an issue with the top not being covered. So they wrap it in that blue insulation that you can see on that next page, and that insulation, you can touch it, it's probably thinner than this piece of paper, and it's just a lot of rolling around in that insulation, and that's what, it's a paper-like material. It's very, very light, which is an additional benefit to it because when you think of road restrictions, you don't want the insulation to weigh very much.
What does a loaded trailer weigh?
A loaded trailer with the tractor together weighs 109,000 pounds. And a tractor is 25, so max.
So that's two trailers then?
One.
Oh, I thought we were hauling double trailers.
No, Canadians are.
Oh.
So if you might have heard me talk about how they have to drop one trailer at the at the border.
I guess for some reason I was thinking that we were hauling duals.
No.
So 100.
And the reason we're not is because of American road restrictions or lack of road restrictions. In Canada, you're allowed to.
Are
weight restrictions, I'm sorry.
Well, we have to cut back on the load during road restrictions?
During road restrictions, during these temporary road restrictions, we get special permits. They are under the health and safety allowable exception because we are providing a product that is linked to health and safety. So we actually just sent maybe less than 2 weeks ago, we sent the two transportation contractors that are currently hauling for us a note to make sure to get that permit in expectations of the weight restrictions coming onto the park's highway.
So these are two axle trailers?
These are three axle trailers. Right? Three axle trailers?
What's the lift?
That's lots of lift. Yeah, there's
eight total. Eight
total axles are there. Two lift axles and then the tractor.
Okay. Well,
what we ought to do, because it's a little dated now, but now that they're coming at us, maybe we could have everybody skip that schematic that we got 3 or 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just send it out to everybody so they have it.
Because
it shows the weight on there, it shows maximum weights. It's very interesting.
Do you want her to pull it up right now?
If you
got
an
answer.
Yeah, we do. I just looked at it
the other
day. While she does that, would you like me to keep
talking? Elena, just one other question. You said that there's a small piece of aluminum on these beers. I think you said it's because stainless steel wouldn't work. So what is it that's on the trailer?
It's right next to the wheel. It's a piece of the axle that's made of aluminum. And I actually don't know why it's made of aluminum as opposed to stainless steel. When we were getting the tour, it was pointed out that this is the only piece of aluminum in your entire trailer. But I didn't ask why that has to be aluminum. I can find out and get back to you about it.
So point to it on that drawing. Where's that piece of 40 points when you said that piece of aluminum?
It's
okay.
Five axles.
I won't be able to point it very exactly. It's like right here on each of the axles, like right as the axle connects to the wheel.
A couple things to note: those are 95 feet long, which is the maximum you can have. And you can see their gym total weight. That total loaded weight is 109,000 pounds.
That's total.
With the tractor.
Loaded.
Okay. With the load. Huh?
Yeah, so that includes the weight of the tractor.
Oh, yes. And then the thing on the back there, where's that called? The thing on the tail that takes care of the burn-off gas, right? With the two black squares, what is that called? Right there.
That takes care of the leak
gas? Yeah, but doesn't that take
where you
the...
Going
what is that? See, the process of, what is it, the burn-off gas?
Boil off.
But isn't that the piping connection?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where all the piping connections go when you want to offer a load to put.
So
trailer.
Yeah, so they're designed with pressure reliefs on them, those trailers. So if they do reach the maximum pressure, they will relieve the stack.
Are anything on these trailers help us with our delivery issues? Warm temperatures versus very cold.
So these do not come with pressure belts.
With what?
With pressure belts.
Pressure belts?
No, belts. So the answer is no, these trailers themselves do not help us with boil-off gas. What does help is the plant up north that will be producing colder gas than our plant in the south. And that's only because, you know, one of the 25-year-old plant built with secondhand materials. No, seriously, we purchased a lot of the pieces secondhand when we made that plant, and then it's a brand new plant with the newest technology. But one thing these trailers do have is a great capacity to keep LNG under pressure and at the correct temperature. The first trailer that is going to be completed, we're not going to be able to pick it up until 45 days later because manufacturers have to keep it under pressure for 45 days, which is what they estimate that the duration of time that that trailer can maintain LNG under pressure. So they have to test it to that in order to give us a certificate to that. So 45 days is a lot of time to keep LNG under pressure in a temporary vessel.
What's the life of those trailers?
We have some trailers currently on the road that are from 1965.
Depends on which part.
And yeah, it really depends on what road you put them on and the rate of utilization. We are depreciating them in 10 years?
Yeah.
20 years.
The new ones? The new ones will probably depreciate on 20 with the idea that we might have to refine that depending on what the first year shows.
Yeah, good information. Does everybody want a copy of that for your files?
Yeah, right, I'd like it. Just one other thing. Do any of those five axles on the trailer retract?
The front two.
Yeah. Those are the axles.
Those two?
Yeah.
They're the ones that retract. If I'm not mistaken, those are also steerable. You don't steer, but when they go around the corner, they turn on their own.
They've got a highway to get over the hump.
Yeah.
They can do four and not back.
What?
No, they're
it seems like it'd be a high center of the whole time.
Very nice, sir.
We expect to see the first two trailers at least in Alaska in May. What I'm trying to get done now is have them passed by an LNG plant in Canada, get them full of LNG and bring them here. I'm trying to, because they're going to be on the road anyway, trying to capitalize on that to get us some maybe cheaper Canadian LNG. Okay.
Are you still thinking about the naming trailer after one board member?
Yeah. Well, she is in charge of details, and she'll put her favorite board member name on several times.
Thank you, Shannon.
Well, that's a real shock welcome for you.
Very simple.
Oh, imagine the new door to
fill. Okay, Burrow.
Jeremiah and I attended a two-day CIMSA safety seminar in Anchorage. It was we're going to continue seeking opportunities to engage directly with CIMSA inspectors and to create good relationships with them. We've introduced ourselves to everybody. They seem to be very collaborative when it's a non-audit situation, so they will tell you things such as, well, if you do this before the end of the audit, then we can't give you a civil penalty for it, which is very interesting to know, and appreciated that they are sharing this type of information. So we're trying to turn our relationship for the better. Let's see, we talked about financials, oil prices continue being volatile. They have been slowly rising over the last couple of months. Residential oil prices 39% more expensive than natural gas. The LNG plant produced everything that it possibly could. In March, we have not had any issues with transportation that we weren't able to recover the next day. We have had initials here and there, but we have been able to really recover to where it did not slow down production a single time. So that's a huge improvement over the last couple of reports I have been able to get to the board. We're really happy with that. We have about 1.1 million gallons of LNG inventory as of the end of March. That should have been about 2 million gallons should we have not had issues with transportation. There are four RFPs that are currently either open or just closed.
The first one is the LNG storage site redesign review. The board might remember that this review came as a in a consent agreement with PHMSA after a another probable violation. We were mandated to get a third-party engineering firm to look at our storage site 3 and do a full engineering review and make recommendations based on that engineering review. And then we have to take those recommendations and tell PHMSA what we're going to do and how we're going to fix them. So this selecting of a firm was step number one. We just received all of these bids. We went through our evaluation. We picked the winning bidder. We notified PHMSA of our selection, because that was one of the requirements PHMSA needed to approve our selection. And we just received PHMSA approval of our selection yesterday. And now we're going to move forward with this engineering review. It's going to cost $75,000 plus travel. We estimate travel at about $5,000, so about $80,000 for this engineering review. We are going to move on it pretty fast, and then we're going to hopefully close that item today. We have a mainline and service line installation contract that just closed on 3/29. For this one, because of the amount, board approval is required. It is way above my approval authority. So the board can expect to see this for approval or recommendation from staff after the next board meeting. The communication towers, that is a project to improve connectivity between our storage sites. The requirement there is another PHMSA requirement that we continuously monitor our storage sites 24/7, and we are monitoring all our storage sites from one storage site. So storage site 3 needs to at all times have full and direct uninterrupted communication with the other storage sites so that we can control it. And these communication towers will improve connectivity in between the sites to where downtime will be close to zero, which is a PHMSA requirement. The RFP closed yesterday. We have received 3 bids for it, and we will have a recommendation to the board to approve that construction contract at the next board meeting.
What's the approximate cost of that?
I suppose we can say this in all discussions since the bids are received, right? There's no protection of, okay. We've received bids that range between about $350,000 to $780,000 for the same project. So that's the highest and the lowest we have one in the middle.
And why didn't you look at fiber optics?
We did and we still are.
Cheaper.
It might be. So before we bring this forward with our recommendation, we're going to have all of our, we'll have those answers.
Okay, and this is microwave?
Yes.
And can you mount these antennas on the tap and the tank?
We are doing that at source site 3, but we need to have physical towers at source site 4 and source site 1, and here at the office.
And they're self-standing, right?
Yeah. There are a lot of rules about communication towers. If they're going to fall, life in danger, so if they're going to fall, is equipment in danger, is this number one, number two, or number three power type? I have learned a lot in this process. But they don't look like much, they don't look like a $700,000 product. They are. Okay. And the last RFP that we have out is arguably one of the most important ones, as it has one of the biggest impact on rates. It is the LNG transportation contract. As I have shared, as Jack has shared from the Finance Committee, we have given Helper a 50-day notice of termination for convenience. That date is coming on May 18th. We are currently receiving transportation services from both Helder and Middleport consistently, and then Carlisle has started delivering for us. We worked with them so that they can fully train a few drivers, and in order for them to consider their drivers fully trained, each driver has to complete at least two trips supervised, so we allow them to do that, and then on an as-needed basis, they are delivering for us, but that's on average hasn't been more than like one or two per week. That LNG transportation RFP is going to close on April 12th. And then that is going to give us the necessary numbers to input into the budget so that we can see, we can talk in significant more detail.
Have there been any, or what's the level of questions in regard to this RFP coming back from industry?
So I anticipate in the last RFP that we did, as a reminder for the board, the last transportation RFP only included the Cook Inlet to Fairbanks route. In there, we received two bids. I anticipate 5 to 6 for this one. We have Heather has done a really good job advertising this to include to some lower 48 trucking association. I've been answering pretty much all I did yesterday is answer questions on this RFP. There were a lot of questions.
From Alaskan firms or from the Montana?
Alaskan. Mm-hmm. Alaskan firms.
Really?
No lower 48 firms asked questions, though I am fairly convinced that we will receive at least one out of 8 bids.
And did you just say you just got another one?
I reached out to the Trucking Association in Washington. Oh. And I reached out to their contact.
So there seems to be a good amount of interest from some reputable trucking organizations.
Okay.
We're preparing for the 2024 construction season. I'm going to leave everything down right here unless there's a question. One of the biggest items is going to be the selection of a main and service line installation contract. Now that those RFPs have closed, I can disclose that we have only received one bid for that work, and it is the same contractor that has been working with us for the last at least 3 years. We are fairly satisfied with their performance, and
what's the name of that company?
Utility Technology Incorporated. They go by UTI, which is unfortunate.
We'll have an in-house, which is just us, and then out-house, which is UTI. Okay.
Yeah, so George is not here. Our project manager is working on hiring our seasonal staff. He has a lot of last year's staff that is coming back to us. He's planning on running 4 construction crews to include a mainline crew, a drill service line crew, and 2 trench service line crews. So he is anticipating that he will install with his in-house crews all of the service lines, and that most of the targeted airship grant will be outsourced to contractors.
Okay.
North Slope LNG supply. Under a couple of projects, one thing to continue talking about is that we're going to need a shop for trailer maintenance or a contract for a third party to perform trailer maintenance. And we are still working through thinking about what the best way to do that is. Most likely there's going to, well, not most likely, there is going to be an RFP that we put out. One of the difficult parts about this project is the fact that in order to be able to work on an LNG trailer in an inside location, building either has to be intrinsically safe, or you have to work outside, or you have to completely purge the trailer with nitrogen before you put it inside the location. And the purging to nitrogen and then the purging back to methane each takes a couple of days. So we really can't afford to do that. Trailers have to be continuously on the road, and making a building intrinsically safe has a lot of engineering requirements. So we are working with an engineering firm so that we can get some basic initial design before we put it out for RFP. We don't anticipate that in the first year we're going to need significant maintenance, as these trailers will be brand new, but we definitely will, especially going into the summer. And then additionally, we need to melt down all of the snow and ice that's going to accumulate so that we don't have to sacrifice payload, so that at least that will be necessary. We're continuing to work on identifying potential large users who can help fully utilize the first LNG train capacity and potentially create demand for a second. I have a brand new, interesting, in my opinion, proposal to show the board. But because this can be detrimental to the finances of IGU, our board's desire, I am prepared to present that in executive session. No news on Fort Wainwright. Human resources news. Heather is leaving me, but she's not leaving all of you. She is going to transition into a different position here at IGU. She's going to do accounts payable for us. Person who has been doing accounts payable for us for the last 5 years is leaving us. Heather is going to be transitioning into that role. But at least for now, she will continue being the secretary of the board and continue helping me put together board packets, etc. I have to say that Heather has been a huge part of my successful transition to, well, you'll have to judge whether or not it was successful, but she has been a huge part of my transition to being the general manager, and we will hopefully find somebody who is good soon.
Does that take a motion?
What kind of motion will you take for a check?
True denier.
They're making fun of me today as I was arguing with the coffee machine. This is what I'll be that inspired us. Okay.
Lydia told me that Heather's leaving and I just took her. Well, she's not leaving the company.
Oh.
But she was leaving us. But she's going to be our board person, responsible board.
So
nothing will change in your life, just in mind. We continue to, is anything else?
No.
We continue to work to staff the operator positions fully. We have two operators who are leaving. We have one operator who's coming back, who's joining the staff. So there continues to be a good amount of movement, well, a bad amount of movement in that department. And then we are hiring for the targeted airship grant. We did have a targeted airship grant project manager join our team. She's really good. She, in addition to being a good project manager, she also has significant grant writing experience, which I imagine will come in very handy as we continue looking for grants to continue our expansion. There is a harvest update that is here on the page. They did not be able to provide that this month, not a full presentation with pictures. The one thing that I'm going to talk about is these LNG tanks. So we were laughing with harvest, kind of a sad laugh, because IGU currently has two trailers that are 2 inches too long, and we have to constantly apply for permit over those 2 inches. And they have LNG tanks that are too long to go onto the Dalton Highway, so they have to bring them by barge. So that is why that schedule is there. They are going to leave India on 4/9/24. So April, they left India, but they're not going to make it to the North Slope until August 1st. The original plan was to bring them onto the road, but they're, I can't remember how many inches too long or too wide, or I can't remember what the specific issue is, but they're too big.
By 2 inches?
No, our trailers are too big by 2 inches. Theirs might be by 5, I'm not sure.
Okay, did I miss, or did you skip over the four-way ramp?
I did. There is nothing new on Fort Wainwright that I can discuss in public session. There is a tiny update that I have for later.
Okay. Is that complete?
That does, yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Anything else from the general manager? All right, let's move ahead then to Zane, our attorney report. Zane,
so my report's on page 156. Let's see if there's anything to add here. I don't have anything to add beyond this, just there unless the board has any questions.
Okay.
So was the termination for convenience done with a minimum of acrimony?
At least that's where we seem to be, yes. But, you know, was the kind of the reason we went that route was to avoid all that associated potential whatever could happen.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or attorney?
And they paid all their subs, so we're good. It's over.
I don't think they have paid their subs. At last, to my knowledge, there's still an issue pending with that. But that's not a direct issue with us. And we haven't been directly involved in it yet. We've been kind of tangentially involved, but I don't know if we've got any update on that later.
As of the last update, an additional $50,000 has been paid to the subs with a remaining balance of about $70,000.
Other,
yeah. So what, a 10 working, what is it? What's it?
You're free. That means me and I'm sitting here.
Oh, you're going to sit next to me, huh?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
There's an upcharge for that.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's good. Thank you.
That's enough. Thank you. Director's request for IGU information. Anybody have any? Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a request from a general contractor, and it kind of ties into the mainland, our main line extensions. And he was wondering, and unfortunately I don't know where it stops on Chena Pump Road, but he was asking what the plans are for future extension down Chena Pump. Because I guess there's some construction that wants to go forward, but they want to tie in natural gas, so right now they're on main lines. I'm just a question.
Might I respond now?
Okay.
Yeah. So
Interestingly enough, it's not down Chinna Pump Road, but it's down up Chinna Ridge.
Oh, that's Chinna Pump
Ridge. That is what I was trying to build with EPA funds.
Okay.
And I was told no. But there is a considerable amount of interest in that area. What we have scoped out, it is expensive, however. We've scoped out getting about 20 new customers, and that would cost about $500,000. So as you have seen, the numbers of new service agreements that we have being under what we would normally expect for this time of year, I am considering options through the budget to see if we can do it with our own funds, but still $500,000 for 20 customers is not nothing. It's all.
Understandable. And just a question that he asked.
Not easily just.
I would ask it and we get an answer.
So yeah, the best way to answer those questions is to ensure that whoever is asking has submitted a new gas service request, so that we can continue putting red dots with where the interest is, and then move into those directions as funding permits.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Lena, are we supposed to know, or do we know, what the value of the LNG plant on the Marshall is that ours is putting out?
They have shared with us just randomly different costs for different portions, for different components, but never the cost of the plant as a whole. I don't know that they would. I imagine that if they wanted to share that, they would say, we're spending $5 for the benefit of Fairbanks.
Yeah.
And they haven't used that many of the public relations activities that they've done.
Yeah.
I can't ask.
We can go back and look. I never shared that number in terms of an expectation, at least when we were in the negotiations with them.
We'll take that.
For some reason, I'm thinking around $100 million, but no quoting on that. But it was in that range.
Well, recouping the funds for that investment is certainly within our liquefaction rate. So I imagine that we can walk back at least something, an approximation.
I remember hearing some of the rest. That may have changed too.
Yeah.
You know how these things go.
Yeah. I remember we were dealing with MWH under the IEP. It was 160 some of it. But that was a whole different system. So, it would just be interesting for us to know what it is. Okay, let's see. Nothing else on that? All right. Then now we're going to let's do two closing comments, and then we'll roll into executive session and adjourn out of the executive session. So let's see. Let's start closing comments. So, Anna, anything from the directors? Mike?
I will be out of pocket for the May meeting. There's no way I can tie in, but I will not be present for the May meeting.
The May meeting.
Right. Okay. Next week.
All right. So moved. Thank you. Steve?
No.
Nothing?
Well?
No. Jim?
Good.
Nothing. I only wanted to tell Jeremiah he did an excellent job on television explaining the boilers and the furnace and making us look good, and making the installers look bad. That's good. We've had some brief comments on it, and I think all of us saw it coming. We went, oh, geez, this could be bad. But I thought it turned out really well for people at the set and really wanted to see it. And we have to remember, this is new to a lot of people, lots of people. So I think that's it. So let's see. Mike, would you give us into an executive session?
I think first I need to do the motion to adjourn upon the adjournment of the executive session.
Okay, let me do one thing. You'll notice a name up there, Sherry. Sherry is a member of the public who has taken an interest in our board. And she's on the mailing list, so, and she wants to attend. So I just when that name pops up, you'll see who the satisfied is friendly. So, okay, Mike, get us in.
I move that we adjourn upon the adjournment of the special, of the executive session, excuse me. And then I also move that we enter into executive session to discuss human resources matters, budgetary assumptions, and business strategies with public knowledge, which could clearly have an adverse impact on the finances of ITU, to include the IGU Board of Directors, the General Manager, the Controller, and the IGU Attorney.
Thank you, Mike. Is there a second?
Second.
Bob, second. Discussion? Objection? Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn this and move to executive session. So give us 5 minutes.